So I thought I would continue today with that theme, and sort of in the same mood, the life and times of Srila Prabhupada. And there were a lot of memories coming, so I decided to take just 1 year. And if we do this every year, then I'll take another year. But the year that I chose was 1974. So just to set the mood for you, by the early 1970s, book distribution was the main form of Sankirtan in ISKCON. ISKCON was always about preaching. From the day that Prabhupada arrived in New York City, the reason he'd come here was to share Krishna consciousness with the Westerners. So as soon as his disciples became a little bit fixed up, Prabhupada sent them out preaching. There's that famous video or television footage at 26 Second Avenue. You see Hayagriva and Kirtananda and Umapani Maharaj coming out of 26 Second Avenue with a big bass drum, some kartals and a trumpet or something, going out in the Lower East Side chanting Hare Krishna. Brahmananda later told me that they were really nervous because they'd never been outside chanting or preaching. It was all just being with the Swami in 26 Second Avenue and just being in his presence, his aura, hearing him and taking prasad, and then everyone would go home. One day Prabhupada said, go out and chant. What? Hayagriva got a big bass drum. There were no mridangas. They had some kartals. And they went out, boom, 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 Hare Krishna. One red sock, one blue sock, one overcoat, hat like this. And what a sight it must have been. But Krishna consciousness has always been a missionary movement. Even going further back in the times of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam, Srinivas, Shyamananda, Lord Chaitanya, Supreme Lord himself. So Prabhupada came with that mood, but it took some time to develop with the devotees. But by the early 1970s, the prime form of preaching was no longer Harinam, because that's what we used to do in the early days when I joined, 1970-71. We'd go out every day with a Sankirtan party and a pile of BTGs. We chant on the street corner and somebody distribute a few BTGs, maybe 9 or 10. Remember one day we had a big collection, 13 BTGs were distributed. We go back to the temple and we'd count our money. We had maybe $5.75. Wow, that's a big collection. We did really good today. But Prabhupada impressed upon us that he wanted the Brihat Mridanga. He started speaking about Brihat Mridanga. What was a Brihat Mridanga? Brihat Mridanga, he said, the Mridanga can be heard on the street corner, but Brihat Mridanga, the message of Lord Chaitanya can be heard far and wide to every corner of the planet. So he introduced us to big book distribution. We started going out, and remember the first time the Krishna books arrived, it was a Friday evening. And we lived in our temple in Detroit, Michigan, in America. We lived in the ghetto area, just on the edge of the ghetto area, where all the Afro-American people lived. And this big box of Krishna books arrived. So our temple president said immediately, it was 6 o'clock in the evening, go out and start distributing them. And I'd been distributing back to Godheads, but never a big book. So I remember I took a set of, they came in three big books like that, the original big books, and I went knocking on the door in the ghetto. It was rough, the ghetto. In America, the ghettos are very rough, very dangerous place. Many times I was actually robbed. We'd be coming back from Sankirtan. I had my collection bag there, and somebody came and rip it off. And it happened to me 3 times. Then I got the idea to keep it hidden. Duh. We were just kids. So I knocked on one door, and this Afro-American family came, big black man and his wife and 6 or 7 kids. And I showed him the Krishna book, and he opened it up to the picture of Lord Balaram was beating up Palambasura. And Palambasura was blackish. He was depicted as blackish. So I remember that The man's looking at me. He said, "You want me to buy this?" I said, "Yeah, it's like really deeply spiritual." He said, "It doesn't have any racial overtones, does it?" "Oh, not at all. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. We're all brothers and sisters." He turned and said, "Why is the white man beating up the black man?" And I went, he didn't buy the book. So, the word came from Srila Prabhupada that we should tax our brains how to distribute the books. And around the world, devotees got different ideas how to distribute the books. Some devotees were very charismatic and good talkers, gift of the gab. They could go in the street and just talk to people and encourage them, and that was working. And some devotees were distributing at petrol stations when the cars would come in, and they'd talk to the passenger or to the people. And some devotees were going to airports and starting to distribute in karmi clothes. We couldn't believe that when we heard that in Europe. They were putting on non-devotional dress and distributing books. But the word came from Prabhupada. This is such an important mission. He said, tax your brains how to distribute these books. So one of our sannyasis, Tripurari Maharaj, he came to London in January. I'm going to take you through the year. He came in January 1974 to London to have a Sankirtan seminar and tax our brains and think of different ways that we could distribute Prabhupada's books. There must have been 40, 50 devotees from all over Europe. And Maharaj was there, and he asked devotees, "You have any idea how to distribute these books? They're so important." Prabhupada's preaching directly to the conditioned souls. The devotees were raising their hands of different ideas. So one devotee raised his hand. He said, "Well, maybe we could, on the plea of some charity work, collect some money and give a book in return." So Maharaj said, "Well, maybe we could try that. We could try that." We had different ideas, putting up bookstalls here and going to the London airport, Heathrow. And this was just one of the many ideas. So he said, "Well, how would we do that?" And the devotee said, "Well, my father is collecting funds for Ethiopia because children are starving in Ethiopia. So we could collect some money and give it to that Ethiopian fund and with the balance give some books out." So Tripurari Maharaj, he said, "Well, that's a little unusual, but if your father can arrange it, then who would like to be in charge of this type of Sankirtan for the next week?" And I went. So then Tripurari said, "What is your name?" I was a Grihastha. I said, "Indradyumna Das, you be in charge of the Ethiopian Sankirtan." I said, "Maharaj, I'm not used to that kind of book distribution." "No, no, we'll just give it a try." So later I went to his room. I said, like, "What do I say?" He said, "Well, I've got a great idea. You go on the underground. The London has the underground. And you stand up in the middle of the cart, as it's going, and you say, 'Ladies and gentlemen, you may know that the children in Ethiopia are starving.'" And you put up a picture with an Ethiopian child with a big belly. "The Hare Krishna devotees are giving something for that. So as we come by, please dig deep into your pockets and give some money for the children, and we'll also give you a book." I said, "Maharaj, I don't want to do that. I like distributing books just face to face, person." "No, we have to try everything. Prabhupada said, tax your brains." So the next day, me and my former wife, because I was previously married in a Grihastha ashram, dressed as devotees. I had, you know, dressed up, and I had a big garland on, big tilak on, and we had some small books, I think, Ishopanishad. And we went down underground. And the train came, the underground car came, and it stopped. And then we came in and we stood there. And of course, everyone was staring at us. Because in those days, Krishna conscious movement was not so well known. So I just didn't have the nerves. My wife went, "Ladies and gentlemen," and everyone looks, it's like, "This is an emergency." One guy grabs the red handle on the emergency. "What?" I said, "The children in Ethiopia are hungry." I couldn't say starving. "They're really, really hungry. I mean, look at the picture." And the Hare Krishna movement is collecting some funds which we're sending through a charity organization to Ethiopia. So please, we come by, give a little money for the kids. People started reaching in their pockets. And as we come by and we get a donation which would cover the cost of the book, we started, we did 30 Ishopanishads. So, okay. So we did this for a few cars, 3 or 4 cars, and we took some lunch, and then I was getting fired up. This is working. So many books are going out. And after lunch, the metro comes in, tube comes in, and then we get inside the car. I'm a little bold by this time. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? It's an emergency. This is an emergency, ladies and gentlemen. Please listen to me. And I'm standing right next to somebody. We came in so fast, and turns around, it's a policeman. He says, young man, what is the emergency? Well, there's not really an emergency, officer. I'm just like planning for the future in case there's an emergency. He says, sit down. I said, yes, sir. And I got so freaked out. The next stop we got off, we went back to the temple. I said, Maharaj, I'm not doing this anymore. So in February, we went back to Paris, and then the word came through the ISKCON grapevine that Prabhupada wanted us to double it. So I was thinking, how can we double the book distribution? So I said, I'm not going back to any of those schemes. I just like to approach people directly on the basis of one-on-one and Prabhupada's books. So our Sankirtan crew, we made up a systematic plan of book distribution around Paris. We divided the city up into different areas, and different teams of devotees would go. Street book distribution, and door-to-door, and store-to-store. And somehow I ended up with the factory area outside of Paris. It wasn't the best area, and kind of the poor area. So I would do the factories during the day. I would go in and meet the boss, and sometimes he'd get permission. I could go around the factory, introduce books to people. I also had incense, and show them the incense first, and then the books. And in the evening, I would go door to door. We'd start Sankirtan about 9 in the morning, and we'd come home around 10 or 11. We'd do the apartments and the houses in the evening. I've been doing that for a few days, and then I came to this... One day I came to this big administrative building, maybe 15 stories high, and the entrance was there was security there. So I waited, and I saw a kitchen van go into the kitchen entrance, the garage, and I just kind of waited there, and I snuck in to the kitchen entrance, went through the kitchen, and then hit the elevator to the 15th floor. And I walked out, and it was one of those areas where just all the people have their own desk, a big hall with the secretaries there. And again, I was wearing dhoti. I shaved my head every day. I had huge tilak, almost like Ramanuja tilak. I just wanted to impress the people. And I would get Radharani's garland from the previous day, and I would wear that garland, and I would go in. I would always have incense lit. So I walked in with incense lit, and I had a big mirrored bead bag, my big white sweater on, and my Indian sandals. And I came in, and the people looked around in shock. And I started waving the incense. And all the ladies, immediately I caught their senses. Oh, ça, qu'est-ce que c'est ça? Ça, c'est très bon. Wow, c'est bien. C'est un parfum, oui. I said, oui, 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 oui. I know two words, oui and non. So I would go, and I would, there were so many secretaries, like 35 or 40, and I would take the incense, and there was spiritual sky incense. Each flavor had a different color, blue, green, yellow, red, like that. So I would take a stick out, I would go by the secretary, and I put it under her nose, like that. And she'd get this blue streak here. And then she would buy the incense pack, and if she was interested, I would give a book, and I would sell a book. And it was such a big area, I didn't know how to keep track, so I would just see everyone had a red, blue, green. Oh, I did that part already. So I did 15th floor, I did 14th floor, I did 13th floor, and I was on the 12th floor, and all of a sudden the elevator opened, and this huge guy in charge of security, he walked out. He said, qu'est-ce que c'est ça, monsieur? I turned around, he's like, I said, well, c'est rien du tout. It's nothing. Nothing. He said, what are you selling here? I said, so then he ran towards me, and it was kind of this cat and mouse around the desk. But he was a big fat guy, and I was young and athletic and strong and jumping over the desk. And I went to the elevator, and I pushed the button, and it was taking a long time to open. He's running towards me. Finally, again, I caught just in time. I could hear him bang into the door. And I go down to the second floor. Because I figured, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7. He's got to guess which floor I'm on. And I walked out, another floor of secretaries. Bonjour, madame. Je suis un jeune moine. Je reviens de l'Inde. Nous avons le livre et l'encense. I'm a young monk. I've just come back from India, and I have these wonderful books and incense. And I'm going, and I'm running out of incense. And I did, you know, by that time I did 6 or 7 Gitas. Great. Now I finish that. I go to the third floor. Bonjour, monsieur, madame, je suis un moine, je viens de l'Indre. And I start distributing, and all of a sudden, the elevator opens. There you are, he said. Big fat belly starts running toward me. That time I ran down the stairs back to the second floor, and I went up to the ninth floor. I mean, it was such good sankirtan, why should I stop? So there I'm on the ninth floor and doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, this guy, this time he uses intelligence. He came out of the elevator really quietly. He stuck up on me and he grabbed me and he put me in a brace like this. Big, strong guy. I had no chance. And he dragged me to the elevator. Then he had someone, then he literally went, 1, 2, my bang, my head hit and I fell down on the ground. Then he came in and he put his foot on my chest and he pushed down really hard. I could hardly breathe. And we went down to the ground floor where there was a reception. So then he dragged me out of the elevator and he put in, there were some secretaries down there, and just kind of show off to them. He took me and he, boom, he punched me in the solar plexus here. And then you lose all your breath. So I fell down on the ground and he stood over me. He said, if you move one time, I'm just going to mash your face in. I said, well, okay, I'm not moving, no problem. He didn't like, I was a little sarcastic with him. He didn't like that. So I'm sitting on the floor, and then the secretary is looking at me, and I show her some incense. The guy goes, argh! I don't know, I just, you know. So he called the police. And they had this, no, 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 no. The police paddy wagon came. I've been in that paddy wagon so many times from Harinam, I knew what was going on. So the policeman got out, and he'd actually called the chief of police. So the chief of police from the local station came with 6 guys, like, really, I'm really dangerous, like a terrorist, with my incense and my Bhagavad Gita. I'm on the floor, this big, heavy guy. And he comes in, and the security guard, he starts screaming. This young boy has broken all the rules. There's a big sign here, no solicitors. He's been taking money and just living in. And the policeman said, oh, really? He said, yeah, and I just really want you to throw the book at the guy, keep him in jail for weeks and do this and do that. And the police chief looks at me and he says, yeah, this guy's going to really get it. So they handcuffed my feet, my ankles, and they handcuffed my hands. And they carried me out like an animal. Threw me in the back of the paddy wagon. So we're going to the police station, and all of a sudden, the paddy wagon pulls over. And the police chief's in the front. So he comes back, and he opens up the paddy wagon, and with the keys, he undoes the handcuffs on my legs and on my arms. And he gives me his hand. He said, come on, young man. Speaking English, come on. He gives me his hand. He says, sit up. I said, are you okay? I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? Is this some kind of trick? He wants me to make a false statement about something? And he's dusting me off. He said, come on, it's okay. He said, come on outside. Come stand outside. I said, I'm like nervous. He said, come on, stand outside. I said, you okay? He said, let me see. Oh, yeah, you got a big bump there. Yeah, it's okay. Sorry about that. I said, sorry? He said, look at me. Don't you remember me? I'm looking at him. I said, I said, "Yeah, your face is familiar." He said, two days ago, you came to my apartment just outside the factory area, and you distributed a book to me and my wife and children. Remember, you came in and we talked. I'm the police chief. I went, "Oh yeah, officer, really nice to see you again." He said, "I've been reading that book over the last few days. This is wonderful." He said, "I'm really inspired by Arjuna." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You people are doing wonderful work." He said, "Just here's your bag." He put all my books back in the bag and the incense. He said, "Now you go on your way. Don't you worry about that bad guy down there." And they drove off. I'm sitting in the middle of the road, my book bag. So what do? I go back to the factory area. I couldn't help it. It's like Sankirtan's like drinking hot sugar juice. It burns the lips, but it's so sweet. You can't stop. So I went back to that administrative building. And I was thinking, I'm just going to wait for that kitchen truck to go back in there. I've got 7, 6, 5, and 4 to do. But then I came in at the door. From that door, you could see the road going down into the kitchen. There was the security guard. He was standing there just like looking. He didn't, he's just standing there. I'm coming. And then I walk past. He goes, "What?" He looks at me. "Whoa." And I went, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." And I danced down the street to the next factory. So then in March, we only covered 2 months. It only gets better, Krishna consciousness. In March, we decided to get out of the city and do some traveling Sankirtan. So in my Sankirtan party, I had 4 boys and 3 girls, 3 ladies. And we decided to travel to the south because it was warmer. Something I've continued to do since then. When it gets cold in the north, you come to Australia. When it gets cold in Australia, you go back north. So we decided to go down to Marseille. Marseille is like a port city. And with a large Arabic population from North Africa. So we thought we'd go down there. So I wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And I asked Prabhupada, because we planned to be away for some time, I asked Prabhupada if it was possible that I could install Gaur-Nitai deities in my Sankirtan van. I thought that would be, keep everything strong. So Prabhupada wrote back quite quickly. A couple of weeks later, I got a letter, and Prabhupada in the letter, he said, "No, this is not necessary." He said, "This will distract you from your service of book distribution." He said, "I know you young boys are working very hard. You're going out early in the morning, coming back late at night." He said, "Just keep a picture of Panchatattva that is equal to the deity." I thought that was really interesting. The picture, he said, is equal to the deity. And he said, "Keep a picture of Panchatattva." He said, "Because Panchatattva are the deities for Kali Yuga." So we got a picture of Panchatattva and we framed that. And we went down to Marseille. And in those days, we didn't have very much Lakshmi, so we had to collect along the way to get enough Lakshmi for petrol and gas. When we got to Marseille, we decided to stay in a youth hostel. But these youth hostels were really low class, and a lot of bums would stay there, and derelict kids and poor Arabs. But we didn't have any money, so we stayed in the youth hostel. But the girls would complain at night that the men were peeking through the doors at them, so they complained to me, and I said, "Okay, ladies, we'll go someplace else." So we went outside the city, and we found a house under construction. There was a roof, but there were no walls, and it was all cement, and there was a basement going downstairs with no windows. So we all went down there. We put a sari between the 2 parts of the room, and the ladies stayed on one side and the men on the other side. And that was how we lived in those days. It was ecstatic. And we come outside. There was a toilet, but it wasn't working. I mean, it didn't flush, but the system was, we get buckets of water and pour it like that. So there were 7 of us or 8 of us, and we'd all wait, the boys and the girls, and like that, in this house that was being constructed. Whenever a car would come by, we'd duck down so nobody would see us. And we'd do book distribution in the morning, and then we do Harinam in the early afternoon, then we do book distribution again in the evening. So One time we were doing Harinam in downtown Marseille. This is a kind of rough and tumble city. We're doing Harinam, and also this motorcycle gang, like 10 motorcycle guys in leather jackets, they come down the street, and they see us chanting, Haribo, Haribo. And they get, look at that. And they get off their motorcycles and come and stand and look at us. Really tough guys. Then they get back on their motorcycle. They come on the sidewalk. They start going around our Sankirtan party. The ladies are screaming, ah! Just chant, namaste, namaste, gaya. Ah! So, then they get to they get off their motorcycles, and then they get up and they come to like beat us. There's like 10 of them. There's just, you know, four guys and three ladies, you know, we're skinny guys and these big muscle guys, and they're coming, they're like really angry. So I tell everybody, and one of the brahmacharis says, what do we do, Indra? I said, run. So we started running, but these are big guys, they were catching up with us. All of a sudden, out of this butcher shop, comes a butcher with a big meat cleaver. He said, you leave these innocent people alone. And I went, yeah. So then, the motorcycle guys attacked him. And while they were attacking him, I said, okay, Prabhus, left down the alley. So we ran away, and they were beating him up for such a long time that they lost track of us. Just as we were turning the corner, the head guy of the motorcycle gang, he saw us. I just going around the corner, I looked around, and he was looking down, and he said, we're going to get you guys, we're going to kill you. And we ran, and we went through these different alleys and like that and forth. And then I said, okay, let's get back on Harinam. And nobody listened to me. No one obeyed my instruction. No, we're not going to go back on Sankirtan. Okay, we'll go back. We'll go back to the temple, which was the house under construction. We moved, because it was too austere for the girls, we moved out of the house under construction, and we went to set up in a riverbed outside the town. It was this riverbed, a little stream coming through it. So, nice, icy, cold water. And we, because the ladies were afraid, we put up some bushes, we cut some bushes down and some leaves like that, and we made kind of a wall. So the boys slept on one side and the girls slept on the other side. But the problem was there was a camp of gypsies nearby, staying in the riverbed, living in the riverbed. So those men would come and peep at the girls at night too. So the girls were getting really afraid, and they said, you know, we have to move on, we have to go someplace else. I said, no, let me go talk to the gypsies. So one morning I went over and I talked to the gypsies, and I said, look, we're brothers and sisters. They're looking at me like, you're our brothers? I said, your religion actually comes from India. The gypsy tradition actually originated in India. One time you left that country and you came to the West. And one man said, yes, that's true. Our forefathers originally came from India. I said, just like our girls keep themselves covered because they're shy, your ladies keep covered because they're shy, yes? And the man said, yes, so do you want me staring at your girls? Oh, no. I said, don't stare at our girls. Okay. Like that. And then we started talking and this and that, and I had the devotees bring over some prasadam, and they liked the prasadam. So the next day I brought over a feast, and we all feasted together. And I said, like, you gypsies like music? We also like music. Why don't you listen to our music? So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And pretty with this, and that evening we had a bonfire, and the devotees are dancing around the bonfire with the gypsies. We had a great program for about an hour and a half. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the next morning, I'm giving Bhagavatam class next to the riverbed. The gypsies are, you know, like where those boats are at their camp. I'm giving Bhagavatam class. All of a sudden, vroom, 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 vroom. We hear motorcycles and look at the distance, and just off the road, down along the riverbed, are coming 10 motorcycles. The same guys. These looks like we're going to kill you. There was no time to do anything. So when they stopped and they got off their motorcycles, and they took their chains out. Iron bars. The devotees. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So we stood up. I said, boys, to stand up. We put the girls, three girls there, and four of us stood on the four sides. You know, like in the cowboy days, cowboys in the wagons. Girls in the middle, and there's me, and Prakasadma, and Indriyadamana, and somebody else, the four of us there. Guys are coming at us. I said to Prakasadma, look tough. He's 16 years old. Little skinny little guy. And I looked tough, so he went... And I went like, all right, this. So they're coming, and all of a sudden their faces turn white. And they turn around, and they start running the other way. I looked at Prakasatma, I said, what'd you do? So Indriyadamana tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Indra, look behind us. I looked behind, 25 gypsy men coming with knives and sticks. And these guys looked really mean. You know, gypsies have a reputation. They're swinging their knives. And then they started screaming. Boy, did those motorcycle guys get out of there fast. And they never came back. So, the Matajis were finished. You know, motorcycle gangs, gypsies, peeping toms, bathing in freezing water, mosquitoes, they actually said to me, Indra, we're going back to Paris. I said, what? This is Sankirtan Yajna. Can't go back. We want to go back to... Okay. I got an idea. We'll leave Marseille and we'll go to the Riviera. The French Riviera. Well, they like that idea, the French Riviera. You know, Saint-Tropez, Cannes, Nice. And they said, we can go swimming on the beaches. I said, you can go swimming on the beaches. And I said, there's really nice shops there, lots of nice perfume. Now, they were good girls, but they just had enough. So we drove to Nice. And there we found some suitable accommodation because it's a very big tourist area. So somebody was kind to us. And I mean, it wasn't great accommodations, but it was something, and there were no peeping toms or people looking in. Everybody was happy, but still, it was pretty rough. Every day, you know, we were going on book distribution, how I know on book distribution, and devotees were getting a little bit tired and wanting to get back to Paris. So one day, we're on Harinam on this broad avenue, and this beautiful, posh car pulls up, and chauffeur car, and the back window rolls down, and there's this beautiful woman in the back. She takes off her sunglasses, and she's looking at us. I was watching her, and she said something to the chauffeur, so the chauffeur got out, and he came over to speak to us, and he was dressed very nicely. He said, the Countess would like to speak to you. Oh, really? Yes, the Countess would like to speak to you. So I crossed the street and went over there, and she was speaking fluent English. She said to him, what are you, Buddhists? I said, no, we're not Buddhists, we're Hare Krishna. She said, oh, what is Hare Krishna? I said, what is his name? She said, well, tomorrow night I'd like to organize a party and you can be my special guest. You can come to my chateau. I said, yeah, okay. So we took the address, and she said, no. She said, I'll send a limousine for you. Oh, really? Okay. So I gave the address, and she said, you're living there in that part of town? I said, yeah. She said, come to my chateau. So sure enough, the next night, next evening, a limousine, a stretch limousine pulls up. We all get in, you know, with our red sock and our blue sock. And the brahmacharis have holes here, and, you know, one guy shaved his head, and it's like... And then we drove into the hilly region in Nice, and we came to this beautiful little castle. And there the Countess was there at the castle, and all her high society friends dressed to the tilt, just beautiful clothes, waiting for us. The Buddhist monk, she kept calling us. Oh, the Buddhist monk. I said, it's not Buddhism. She said, Buddhist. So we came in, she had this beautiful room with this... I told her we were vegetarians, so it was this vegetarian feast there, and all the high class friends, maybe 40 people were there. They were all looking at her like, what is this? Did you invite? So we sat down, and I led kirtan. And when we had kirtan, everybody just kind of came at ease. And then I gave a lecture, a half hour lecture from Bhagavad Gita. These were like high class people, and they were nodding, and they liked the talk. And then we had prasadam, and we, you know, talked with everybody. Then for 3 days in a row, she invited us back, and she said, "You have to stay with me." So I said, you know, the brahmacharis, I thought, "Oh, this is my Maharaj." And the girls, "No, no, we should stay here. We should stay here." So out of consideration, because they were working so hard, I said, "Okay." And the boy, "Oh, Maya, look at this." I said, "But it's nice, Maya." "Okay, they've got a swimming pool." "Okay, we'll stay." So we moved in. And the girls had the upstairs floor with the countess. And she had so many rooms, you know. We had our quarters there, and the servants were cooking every day vegetarian food. And, you know, problem is we were getting out late on Sankirtan, you know, because it was such an idyllic kind of situation. We stayed 1 week with her, and I think we had another party towards the end. And one day she said, "I like you Buddhists so much, I'll give you my chateau." "I don't have one, I have several chateaus. You bring your accountant down here, I'll sign the whole property to you." And I went, "Whoa." And the boy said, "Maharaj, this is Maya, we're renunciates, we shouldn't stay here." And the Maharaj said, "Well, yeah, we'll wait, we can stay down here and open a center." So I'm thinking about it. And the boys, they bamboozled me. I said, "No, thank you." No, she said, "I'll just give you the whole chateau. It's yours. Your boys can stay in Nice and do your Buddhist thing." Said, "No, no, this is Maya." We got in the limousine, went back to our little trampy place, in our little douche-a-vole car, and drove to Saint-Tropez. How times have changed. She'd ask me now, we could have a nice fishing center there. Anyway, we received word that Prabhupada was coming to Rome. So those days we were just wild. We just heard, we didn't even call up our temple president in Paris. We heard through the grapevine Prabhupada was coming to Rome. We got in our van and we started driving to Rome from southern France. We went through the border and we drove down there and we got to the temple. It was a small temple at a small house at Piazza Lodi, I remember. Piazza Lodi. And there weren't so many Italian devotees in those days. But Prabhupada had arrived just before we came. And came in and we met Dhananjaya Prabhu. And he said, "Great, we're going to have a program at a hall called Villa Borghese or something like that." He said, "I want you to go out and do Harinam and advertise the program." I said, "Yeah, but we came to see Srila Prabhupada." "No, no, you have to earn it. You have to. We'll give you darshan tonight." You know, we're exhausted from this like 14-hour drive. We go out in Rome, Hare Krishna. And I said, "Wow, this place is great." The Italians were all singing and dancing with us. I said, "Boy, I'd like to stay here in Italia." So then we came back and they gave us a room. And but it was so noisy. It was right on a street corner on a major passageway. Noise, boom, boom. And I complained to Dhananjaya. I said, "How can you have Prabhupada stay here? It's so noisy." And he said, "No," he said, "just that morning he told Prabhupada, he said, I hope the noise of the traffic doesn't bother you, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada replied, "No," he said, "it's very pleasing." He said, "It means this is a very important part of Rome. We have a very good location. Stay here." I thought that was interesting, how Prabhupada heard the noise of the traffic. It meant that it was a good place for preaching. So Prabhupada was supposed to meet the Pope, but the Pope, he got sick. So they sent a cardinal over to meet Srila Prabhupada. And then a couple of days later, we were doing Harinam every day, just out there every day, giving out little black and white invitations, you know, to Prabhupada's program. And the program was scheduled at 5 p.m. at this villa. The seating capacity was 500 people. And we came late, but we came just as the program was about to start. There were no seats left. There was 1,000 people in the hall and the seating capacity of 500. That means they were really lined up against, you know, the walls and standing. And we came and the devotee said, "There's no room. You can't come in." I said, "Wait a minute. We've been doing Harinam for 3 days here and we only saw Prabhupada in one Bhagavatam class and the temple president promised us that we'd get some mercy." He said, "Let me see." So he went and got Dhananjaya. And Dhananjaya came and I said, "Dhananjaya, please, you know." He said, "Yeah, okay, all right. Son." So he brought us in and he took us to the front row. And he said, "Okay, Indra, you can go sit on the stage. I said, well, I can't. He can play drums for Prabhupada. I said, oh, great, great. So Prabhupada was already sitting. He was just about ready to start the program. No, he wasn't sitting. He was just standing at the side, and they were preparing his Vyasasan. So I came and I sat next to the Vyasasan, a little bit away from the Vyasasan. I thought, this is great. I got the drama. Teo Tanaka Te, ding, ding. I'm practicing my beats. And then Prabhupada comes up the stairs, and he's walking, and he comes right in front of me, and he looks at me, and he makes this motion with his head, and he looks at his shoes. Duh. So then Prabhupada was indicating I should take his shoes off. So then I went, wow. The Prabhupada's standing there, then I hold his shoes, and he takes his feet out, and I touch both of his feet like I'm going back to the shoes. And Prabhupada sits on the Vyasasan, and then I put the shoes on my lap. And then Prabhupada's singing, and Jai Radha Madhava, and I'm playing. The whole class, I'm holding his shoes like this. And the class is over, so I thought maybe I would get in trouble, so I did put the shoes back there. Then Prabhupada gets off the Vyasasan, the program's over. I mean, what a program that was. The Italians, they have so much life. And during the kirtan, they're all dancing and singing. It was pandemonium. No air, hot as Hades in there. People chanting, chanting. Prabhupada loved the program. He gets off the Vyasasan, he's beaming. He comes and he looks at me. I take the shoes and I put on, and then the photographer takes a picture of the putting the shoes on Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada went. Now this was, what, 74? How many years ago was that?
36.
36? I forgot, because there were so many, you know, just I forgot about it. And I was in Rome a couple of years ago, and I was doing a program in the temple in Rome. And I asked for questions, and one boy said, were you ever with Prabhupada in Rome? Did you ever get any personal association? So all I remembered was that we were on Harinam. We couldn't get much association. I said, no. He said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I said, I'm sorry, sir. He was an older guy. I said, I didn't have... He said, you put Prabhupada's shoes on. I said, I did? He said, yeah. He said, I was the photographer who took the picture of you putting Prabhupada's shoes on. I said, it started coming back. You did? He said, yeah, and I brought it with you tonight as a gift. He said, I was going through all my old stuff, you know, at the bottom of my drawer after 35 years. And I found the picture, the black and white, and I found the film roll. He said, it's not in such condition. I produced. And he took out this package, a big package. And I had to unwrap the package. There's another package in it, a package like that. And then I pulled out a frame. And there I am as a young boy putting Prabhupada's shoes on. I gave that guy a big hug. I said, oh, you couldn't have given me a better present. Even you went to Swargaloka, you brought me a Parijata flower. Yes. It wouldn't be as valuable as that picture of Prabhupada. So, okay, now we're going to go to April. We've got 25 minutes. April. We went back to Paris. At that time, Paris was a very volatile place, so the students were in a revolutionary mood. They were the Marxist, Lenin Marxist revolutionaries. And they saw the Hare Krishna movement as like an excess of capitalism, religion is the opiate of the people. So Sankirtan became very difficult because the students were always in the streets rioting. And we were just like innocent, naive, you know, boys and girls. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. These rocks would go flying in the kids would be fighting the police. It'd be this pitched battle. They'd dig up the streets, all the couples. And we'd have to hide and wait. It's over. Hare Krishna. So they didn't like us. And I remember one time, the Marxist Leninists had this big picture of Che Guevara, because he was a revolutionary, and Lenin and these different people. They had this office on the third floor of one of the main streets on Saint-Michel. Is that a street, Saint-Michel, or a quartier? Katya, what's the street called coming down from Sorbonne University? There's a street. Forget the name of it. That's where all the revolution was. That was our favorite place for chanting. Because we thought we would make devotees out of these, you know, revolutionaries somehow or other. So, Boulevard Saint-Michel. Merci. Boulevard Saint-Michel et Quartier Latin. Was it Francais? Ah oui. And, so the communist boys and girls, they have their floats. So we're going by one day, And they poured boiling coffee, a big pot of boiling coffee, onto the heads of the Matajis. It's not so difficult traveling with me these days, is it? The bed bugs aren't such a... compared to the boiling coffee. So, Bhugarbha Prabhu, who was, you know, a very good friend of mine, you know the other story, how we bathed Prabhupada's feet and we drank the Charnamrita together. We had the clay drum. He just threw the drum at me. He said, "Wait here." And he said, "Continue the kirtan." He said, I want you to cover the noise." I said, "The noise?" So he ran upstairs and he broke down the door. He beat five guys up. Carmen Lennon's guys who had poured the coffee on us. I could hear the glass breaking. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! And the glass breaks. He brought the coffee pot down and gave it to the girls. It's a memento of your Sankirtan. Jagakirti, she's looking at that. I'm supposed to keep this? That's what it was like in those days. It makes Sydney look like Swargaloka. So that started a war. And the next day, we would come down by metro, and I was late, so I missed the devotees coming down by the metro. I came down alone, and I was having a hard time finding the kirtan party. And I was on the corner of Le Boulevard Saint-Michel. And then those communist boys came, and they found me, and they encircled me. And they came, and they all, there was 50, they all spit in my face like that. That was their insult. And I was just covered like this. I was just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I didn't want to fight them because they were really vicious guys. Then I went into the underground. They had the bathroom there, and I cleaned myself up, and then I found the party. So the next day, they came with eggs and pieces of meat. And we were chanting and dancing real blissfully on the corner in front of Sorbonne University also. Big pieces of flesh, you know, cow flesh, and it was horrible. And they were just, we were covered, and all the girls were crying. So we went back to the temple. Another thing we could do. And the next day, we're back on Sankirtan, the same place. And the leader of the Marxist-Leninist revolutionaries, he charged the party. He was about 6'3", big, huge guy. And he looked like, you know, he had this goatee and a cap like Che Guevara. We had one Mataji, Kishori. She was a Prabhupada disciple. He just grabbed her on her chest, like that. And as he grabbed her, I saw him, and I swung the drum around, and I clipped his head here with the mridanga, and he fell down. But he was a big guy. It takes more than that to keep a guy like that down. So he's down. So I was just so angry. I came in. I stood over him. I said, "You're going to get it." And he starts crawling backwards on the street. And I'm walking with him. I said, "Yeah, yeah, that's right. Just keep going back. Get out of here. Don't ever come back." He's going back. And I think, wait a minute. This guy's 6'3". He's a muscle man with a little skinny griastra. And I was going, "Yeah, yeah, Nishringadev, come on. Don't ever you come back. And if you do this next time, I'll smash your face. And you're going to apologize to Kishori." And I'm going like that. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And then we had been distributing halava. And as he charged the kirtan party, he kicked the halava into the air, little piece of, and it went everywhere on the ground. And then he grabbed Kishori. So we're going along. And the guy's getting so afraid, so nervous, so like he's picking up the pieces of halava and eating them. I'm thinking, yeah, I scared the daylights out of this guy. So he's crawling backwards, maybe like half a block. And then I said, "Yeah." So he stopped. He said, "If you ever come back, you're in trouble. I'll get you again." And then he just gets up and he runs away. I look around. There's like 15 brahmacharis right behind me. A couple of guys with sticks and the kartals. They're the ones that scared him, not me. So then in, that was April. So then in May, we did an advertising campaign because Prabhupada was going to be coming. So we increased our Sankirtan and our book distribution. We went into the metros. We did a lot of small books. And then in June of 74, Prabhupada came to our center. And we had rented a hall in a place called, it was the Sapleel? Le Sapleel? La Sapleel. Very prestigious place. Because, you know, we'd done our programs in La Cartier Latin and Saint Michel. We were always done with the kids and the Reverend. So the temple president said, let's do a program in a really prestigious hall. Yeah, that's nice. He said, we'll get nice people. That sounds like a good idea. So he rented the South Playhouse, 2,500 seats. And we did programs at the temple. We'd get 10, 15 people. I said to the temple president, how are we going to get 2,500 people? He said, no, if you do it in a first-class place and you promote it nicely, you'll get first-class people and you'll fill it up, like we do here in Sydney. Pratapanas got that idea. Perfect marketing strategy. Okay. So, we did that. And again, we were on Harinam, advertising the program to the last minute. We came with the Hare Ram party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare. We stood outside the hall. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Jai Prabhupada. We had these big posters of Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. But people were coming to hear Prabhupada. So we got in. And again, the receptionist said, I'm sorry, there's no room. I said, what do you mean there's no room? There's 2,500 seats. She said, they're all full and people are standing at the back. I said, wow, really? I said, but I'm the drum player. I have to go on the stage. And these are my kartal players. So somehow we came in the back and we were able to sit on the stage with Prabhupada again. And I was expecting, I'd actually had my Bhagavad Gita in my bag because whenever Prabhupada would lecture and we would do the verse, I always wanted to chant along. Like, if you chanted, then maybe Prabhupada would see you. Like, his secretary would do the verse and then we would chant it. So I thought if I had my book, then Prabhupada would notice me and see me. So I had my Bhagavad Gita because, Prabhupada was going to speak on the Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada sat down and you could hear a pin drop, 2,500 people there. It was a huge audience. I was so amazed. I was looking at Prabhupada. I thought, only you could do this, Prabhupada. A swan-like messenger of Lord Krishna. You could draw a crowd like this. They'd never even met you, but they're so eager to meet you. I was just mystified. It was mystical, actually, how it happened. 2,500 people. They're very prestigious hall. So then Prabhupada asked, I think it was Satsvarupa Maharaj. She said, please give me the book. And he gave him the Bible. I thought, wait, there's a mistake here. Gave him the Bible. And Prabhupada's looking at the Bible and he gives it to Pradyumna, I think, and he said, so read the verse. And then he reads the verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And Prabhupada started lecturing from the Bible. And I went, wow, world acharya, he can lecture from any book. Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was giving this wonderful lecture about how the holy name and God are known different. He was quoting Sanskrit, Namachintamane Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, and intertwining it like this, and speaking about Jesus. I thought, this is brilliant, because France is a Roman Catholic country. Unfortunately, many of the people in the crowd were student radicals. The Marxist-Leninists, our opposition, our so-called friends, and they'd come just to cause trouble. So at one point, Prabhupada gave an analogy that agitated them. He said he compared the conditioned soul's existence in the material world to the punishment a citizen receives when breaking the laws of the government. So as soon as he referred to the citizen being punished by the government, the radical students started booing because they were really against the government. So the government punishes the students. Rah! So Prabhupada turned to Jyotirmayi, who was a translator. He said, what are they saying? Because it was all in French. And she replied, they don't like the example you've given. They don't like the government here. So Prabhupada became like a lion. He said, you may not like the laws here, but if you break them, you'll be punished. And he was referring to the law of karma. You may not like the laws here in the material world, was what he meant. But if you break them, you're going to be punished. So they took it, he was referring to the French government, as students, that they break the laws of the government. So they started screaming. One student jumped up and he said, you may be speaking spiritual things, but one thing I would never do is sit down on the throne and demand people to bow down at my feet. One student stood up like that. So all the students started going, parterre, parterre, parterre. I mean, it's on the ground. Get off the seat, parterre. There must have been 100, 150 of them. And they all were sitting in the front. They had the front row seats. It was all planned. They're screaming at Prabhupada, like, "Parter, parter!" And they're standing up, "Parter, parter!" Prabhupada's like, I looked at Prabhupada and I was thinking, my heart was beating. Boom, boom, boom. And you know, this was going to be a fight. Parter, parter! And Prabhupada, "Rom, rom." He turns to do it to me. "What did they say?" I was saying to Yogeshwar, "What did they say? What did they say?" Prabhupada said, "What are they saying?" Over the microphone, "What are they saying?" And she said, "They're saying, get down." Then Prabhupada became like a lion again. He said, "I can speak from the floor, but that doesn't mean you'll understand me any better." "If you know the science," he said, "of God consciousness, then you come sit here on the Vyasasan and they'll bow down to your lotus feet." Oh, then the students got really angry. And then Prabhupada said, "Come sit here and speak if you're a representative of God." "Are you a Leninist? Marxist?" So then when Prabhupada spoke like that, everything became silent. The students were just shocked. Prabhupada became so powerful, so strong, and the Shingadev was like working through him. And they were just, they were like terrified. And nothing was happening. It was just nothing, just silence. And in the back, another group started, you know, "Parter, parter, parter, parter." And they were getting, you could tell they were going to run this, jump this, come to the stage. So I had my boots there. I had these, for Sankirtan, I had these boots. So I put my boots on. There's going to be some trouble here. So I kind of, like, you know, under my dhoti, I'm putting my boots on, like watching these guys, you know. All of a sudden, they started moving forward. So like 10 of us boys, you know, we jumped off the stage and we started moving through the crowd to these group of boys. And one pulls a knife. He's like right there. He pulls a knife. I think, a knife. And there's this German boy. He was a big boy. He just jumped to that guy. He tripped him. He flipped him upside down. The guy crashed and banged his head. The German picked the knife up and put it in his back of dhoti there. And then there was this little exchange like that. And it was about to be a big rumble. And then Prabhupada said, "Have kirtan." We could hear over the speakers. And Yogeshwara started singing, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." I don't know, the whole place just kind of calmed down. Prabhupada just got up and walked out the back. His lecture was maybe 5 minutes long. He just got up and walked. And then these guys just like, well, the leader's gone. They walked away. The guys in front, they just kind of got up and left in the foyer. And we distributed prasadam. That was the end of the show. The kirtan. So, that was in June when Prabhupada was... We'd done the marathon in Maine and Prabhupada came in June. So, the next day at the temple, Prabhupada was staying at the temple and I was chanting my rounds in the foyer, which, you know, just off the street, off the foyer, and I heard this knock on the door. Open the door, and there's this bum. We say in French, clochard. Le clochard. It's a clochard. I mean, France, it's a really demeaning word, clochard. People used to call us, le clochard. There's a real clochard. There's a bum there. It's a young man, maybe, I don't know, 17 or 18. Just filthy dirty. He had dirt caked all over him. You could even see like the flies there, you know, just and stunk like high heaven. Just what? He said, "Food, food." I said, "Right." Somebody run in. Somebody said, "No, don't feed him because if you feed him, he'll come back." So I closed the door. I mean, he was just, you could tell he was like a wild man on drugs. He hadn't shaven. I said, "Sorry." When the Mahārāja said, "You can't do that. You can't turn away a soul from Lord Chaitanya." I said, "Hey, you feed him." So she went outside and she fed the boy. And I said, she said, you don't remember him? I said, remember him? She said, yeah, we were down in Pigalle. Le Pigalle. Pigalle is like a real low class with the prostitutes, the bars. You know, they have a market down there. Le Pigalle, the flea market. What did I say, flea market? Marché de Puces. The Marché de Puces. No, that's not, that's some other place near the Pigalle. We were in Pigalle doing Harinam, and he kind of came from under a rock somewhere. His green jacket, and his, I said, yeah, I remember. He came to the kirtan party and went, pom, 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 pom. Nobody could understand him. Uh-huh. And one of the girls gave him an invitation to the temple. And she said, he came yesterday asking for food. I said, look, Prabhupada's here. We can't have a guy like this around. He's just, he's a bum. He smells, he's got flies. He's not bathed in months. And he had a speech defect. He was a little crazy, actually. So one of the girls said, no, he's taken up residence in the bushes along the street, outside the temple there. I said, what? Yeah, that's where he lives. He lives in the bushes. For the last 3 days, he's been living in the bushes. And she said, I've been taking him food. I said, okay, but can you, that's all right. I said, but can you tell him to go away now? And she said, no, he wants to meet Prabhupada. I said, this guy's not going to meet Prabhupada. I said, do you know who Pigpen is? She said, Pigpen? I said, he's a character in Charles Schultz cartoons. You know, there's Lucy and who else? There's Charlie. And Pigpen's like, I think, Lucy's brother, and he's a dirty guy, and he's always got flies around him, and he lives in the forest, and he's... I said, we're not going to let Pigpen meet you to Prabhupada. Just go out to the bushes and tell him. So she said, you come. So we went out and later in the day, and sure enough, in the middle of the day, there was Pigpen sleeping in the bushes. Just like in the dirt. I saw the little red invitation sticking out of his jacket pocket at the temple. I said, no way. I said, just try to encourage him to like go somewhere else. So the next morning, Prabhupada wants to take a morning walk. So, you know, Prabhupada will go on a morning walk every day. So we're walking with Prabhupada, and then we're getting close to those bushes. I went, oh my God, what if Pigpen's there? And sure enough, we're walking by, and like, you know, the monster of Loch Ness, you know, this zombie just comes out of the bushes, Bubu Bud! And he just leaps out of the bushes, and he grabs Prabhupada's feet. So I said to the boys, I said, get him away. You know, take this guy. And they're dragging him away. I said, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada. Satsuru Maharaj said, Prabhupada, we're so sorry. And then I said, look it. I said, you're filthy, dirty. You can't do that. If you want to come and take some food, okay, but you can't come and touch our spiritual master. And then we just pushed him back in the bushes and he fell asleep again. Pigpen. So we're walking and we go down to the lake. There's a beautiful lake. We're walking around and then coming around. And then we come back to the temple and I look in the bushes. There's no Pigpen. I said, oh God, where is he? Maybe he finally went away. He got the message. Got the message, Pigpen. Come back to the temple. And, you know, most of the devotees are outside the temple to receive Srila Prabhupada. Be kirtan. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. We come in. So there were no devotees in the temple. So Prabhupada comes in first. And I'm right behind Prabhupada, and Sasarup Maharaj is there, and I forget, Shruti Kirti or somebody. We walk into the temple room. You can just go in down. The Pujari is just ready to open the curtain. Prabhupada walks in, and suddenly this monster just lunges at Prabhupada's feet and grabs them. It's Pigpen. He got in the temple because we were all on the walk. And his filthy, dirty hands are holding Prabhupada's lotus feet. So I was like, that's it. And Prabhupada said, no. He stopped us. And he bends down, and he puts his hand on Pigpen's head. I'm in shock. I'm thinking, how merciful is my spiritual master? I was just like, I was up against the wall. Oh my God. And Prabhupada's stroking his head like this. He He said, nice boy. He said, he's a nice boy. I think, how do you know he's a nice boy? He's a derelict. He's obviously lost his brain on drugs. He hasn't bathed in months. And he smelled so bad. I said, he probably just got it from the... He's a nice boy. And then Prabhupada, he holds his hand there and he says, soda's done. It means soda's done. What does it mean, soda's done? And then Prabhupada goes in to take darshan. The deities are there. And, you know, we're all like, I didn't have the heart. I said, I can't throw him out now. He's a nice boy. So I said, the brahmacharis, just put him up against the wall. Because he was still laying on the ground, crying. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, save me. He said, save me, Prabhupada, save, save, save. Huh? Put him against the wall. Then Prabhupada goes to give class. And we're all sitting there, and Pigpen's like, against the wall. And once in a while, and I said, shh, shut up, Pigpen. Spiritual master speaking, just shut up. Nice boy. And there were no devotees around him because he smelled so bad. Everyone like moved away. So then, you know, Prabhupada gives an ecstatic class, and then Prabhupada goes upstairs to his room, and the devotees follow him. And then I'm downstairs, and I said to the temple president, "What are we going to do with this guy?" He said, "You decide." I said, "Pigpen, you got to go." He said, "No, Prabhupada." I stay. You stay? You're going to stay here. You know, his mind was destroyed by drugs. I stay. I said, okay, we're going to clean you up. You want to stay? We're going to clean you up. He said, oh. So I told the boys, I said, take him upstairs and give him a scrub. It's 2 hours. One boy said that the dirt on his skin, it was like skin. It was so caked on. He said, that person must not bathe in years. We had a brush up there. And his hair was all tangled in his teeth. He said, and then they brought him back down, and I didn't recognize him. He's just kind of a chubby guy. They had a dhoti on. He looked like a big diaper. He was a big fat boy, and just it looked like a diaper. And, you know, he comes down. Boo, 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 boo. Like, yeah, bubble bud, you just sit here. So then, you know, we took breakfast, and then he said, he said, I do something. Okay, I gave him a broom. I said, you clean the floor. Oh, okay. Took him like 3 hours. Clean the floor like this. You know, we went somewhere, came back, still cleaning the temple room floor. I said, good boy, Pigpen, you did a good job there. Let me finish it. Then he took prasadam. So he was sleeping upstairs with us. And he couldn't get up in the morning, and devotees started complaining. But I started kind of taking a liking to him. And they said, maybe he should leave. I said, look, you know, he's not doing any harm. He's just cleaning here and there. And then this went on for like a month. Prabhupada had left a long time ago. So, you know, one day, he was like kind of with the brahmacharis. He tried to be like us, you know. He'd sit and listen to the class. Tried to get him to chant one time. I said, you're hopeless, big man. When he'd eat, he'd slobber. And he was gone. So, but he was always saying, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, save me, Prabhupada, save me. I said, you're right. So one day, we're talking in the ashram, we're going to go on Sankirtan. We're going to go on Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan. So I got my van ready, and all the boys, you know, we packed it. We were excited. We've been in the temple like too long. We wanted to get out and travel and distribute books, you know. And whenever we were talking about it, I could see Pigpen on the side. He'd be listening. So then, early morning, we're supposed to schedule to leave before Mangalarti, 4 o'clock. You know, I'd lock the van, done everything, the books were there, we got ready to go. So then we all charge down, payroll basis, the Vyasa-san, the Radha Parasishwara, and we go into the van. The door's open. And I look, and Pigpen sitting in the passenger seat. I said, Pigpen, what are you doing?
Sankirtan.
You're not going on Sankirtan. You can't even talk. You just slobber. You be a good boy and stay here and clean the temple room.
Ah, Babapat saved me.
Okay, Pigpen. Look, these boys are experienced Sankirtan men. They've been doing this for years and years. You know, we can't hardly squeeze you in. I said, oh, I hear. Pigpen, get out of the car and go back in and clean the temple room. And started crying.
No, shake your tongue.
One of the boys said, okay, Indra, just let him come along and we'll send him back by train at first day. And you think this guy's going to come back by train? Look, you're not going to put it in Pigpen. Pigpen? All right, Pigpen, you can come. What do we do? He's a devotee. Prabhupada said he was a nice boy. So we go on Sankirtan. You know, we're on our karmic clothes. By those days, we were in karmic clothes. Pigpen's in his diaper. His big dhoti and his kurta. And we drive out of the city to Paris, and we go to one of these huge hypermarchés on the way down to Lyon. You know, we get out, and we were all Sankirtaneros. We knew our mantras. We knew how to get into there without getting caught by security. You know, we distribute a book behind the car here. Then somebody come, and we bend down and distribute the open window and run behind the pole here. Because the security guards are, like, looking for us after all these years. They knew we liked to do these big hypermarchés. So we get to this big, you know, in our van, this big hypermarché. And we park our van a little bit, you know, off to the side there, and then we start eating our breakfast. We were cooking, actually, heating up the khichdi. You know, we're in the back, because we would sleep in the back of the van, and we had all our books and things underneath. So we're all there, you know, and eating like that, and then, how many books are you going to do? I promised 30 big books, Jagat Vasi said. 30 big books, and Indra Daman, I'm going to do 25, plus this, you know, we're talking. Yeah, like that. One of the boys said, Indra, oh my God, oh no, what are we going to do? We all look out, Pigpen's out in the parking lot with a book bag, approaching somebody, walking out of the store with a book, and we froze. This was like our best place. We don't want to lose this spot. We don't want to get caught. His big diaper, he's sitting there, and went, oh no, we're going to get caught. Gives the book to the person. The person stops. Pigpen. The guy reached into his pocket. Took out 100 francs. The book was only 20. Gave it to Pigpen. We're looking at each other. Oh my God. Did you see that? Jagavasi went. One boy said, that's our Pigpen! I said, go get him. And the boy said, but if we go and get him now, it's going to create a big commotion. Look, he's already approaching another car. And we were like, you know, this khichdi spoon, like right here. I'm ready to eat my khichdi. Pigpen went to a car, took out a big book, not a small book, a big book, put it in the window, came back out with money. 7 books in a row. He came walking back like a duck. He get in the car. I hungry. I said, the boys were speechless. All of a sudden they broke into big cheer. Yeah, Pigpen! They're all clapping. Whoa! Pigpen's like. I said, Pigpen, what could you possibly say to the people? You can hardly talk. He said, what was your mantra? He said, Prabhupada, save me. And all the boys, you know, these boys were a little proud, you know. And they went quiet. I said, Pigpen, what did you say? I said, what was your mantra? What did you tell the people when you gave them the book? I say, God save me. It was something about his, just, he was so innocent and pure, and he just wanted to share the same mercy he got with somebody else. Prabhupada saved me. He wanted others to experience it. So that was his mantra. He'd go up to people, give them the book. Prabhupada saved me. And he'd wait. And people couldn't help. They just, okay, boy. Here you go. And he's packing his books. And then he jumps out the door and goes back out. We're still eating prasadam. And he goes back and he's going out. He waits. There he goes. He did 14 books that day. Okay, boys, get out. I said, but shouldn't we call him back and put him in some pants? I said, do you have pants that size? Going to fit that bad boy? Somehow or other, by the yoga maya, the security didn't even notice the guy. Didn't even notice him. He's just like floating around in ecstasy doing Bhagavad Gita's. He comes back that night, counting his money. I said, that's 100. That's 300 big men. Yeah, three. Couldn't even count. Hey, we stayed out for 2 months. Pig Pen was the biggest book distributor on the party. And every day he'd go out in his diaper. And the boys just fell in love with him. He was like our mascot, you know. And a couple, it gets pretty rough and tumble out there in the 70s, you know, in France and on the street. Sometimes somebody says, the boys would come and they'd say, don't you speak like that to Pig Pen. We were defending him. And we were giving him the best place to sleep. This is a big guy. You know, he'd sleep in the van. When Pig Pen would turn over, everybody else would turn over. So, you know, he just became our pride and joy. We did everything to protect him. But he was like the most enthusiastic. And it was always, Pig Pen, how are you doing this? Prabhupada saved me. Prabhupada saved me. So we're driving back, you know, and then Thakurvasi said, well, how did we get Pig Pen again? And I said, you know, he was coming to the temple with Glochard and this and that and so forth and so on and like that. And then, you remember, Prabhupada put his hand, and then Thakurvasi said, what did he say? I said, oh, he said, nice boy. And then he said, now it is done. I went, wow, now I understand. Prabhupada had given him some special mercy. I was thinking, you know, Guru Kripa, sometimes the disciple may get something, some special mercy, some Guru Kripa. Pig Pen had got Prabhupada's mercy. So we came back and we spent time in the temple. And gradually, you know, Pig Pen, his speech cleared up, his thinking cleared up, everything. He was speaking coherently. He was, you know, dressing nicely and everything and speaking nicely. And then he just became like a normal person. A normal guy. And Prabhupada came that summer and gave him initiation. He got the name Rasada. And Rasada Das, I found out eventually he was Portuguese boy. Portuguese descent. He went on to be one of the best book distributors in Europe of all time. Of all time. He just shined. And then when he became normal, we'd do things like that. I said, how'd you do it? He said, he'd go like this. He said, Prabhupada saved me. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna ki, Transcendental Book Distribution ki.